With SDPB News, I'm Megan Feary. Governor Kristi Noem says her office will look into the removal of Native American references from draft social studies curriculum standards. The Department of Education released its draft standards last Friday. They differed from an earlier draft by a working group of about 40 stakeholders. The state's draft cut some concepts related to Indigenous history and added other concepts. One retired teacher from the working group calls the state's draft political. Governor Kristi Noem says calling the draft political is speculation.
And it's all a little ridiculous, honestly. So what you can judge us on is the final product. The reason things are drafts is because it's a working draft, and we're bringing everybody to the table, taking input. We're going to make sure we have the best product that teaches history, civics, curriculum, and to our students in the K-12 system. And that's why it's still a draft.
Noem says Indigenous history is important to include in the standards. The Department of Education says in a written statement, quote, "The department made certain adjustments before the release of the draft to provide greater clarity and focus for educators and the public," end quote. The department also says its draft standards provide a balanced approach to history, and the standards put more focus on Native Americans than previous standards. Social studies content standards were last updated in 2015. The public comment period on the new draft standards begins September 20th with a hearing in Aberdeen. Three other hearings will be held later in the school year in Sioux Falls, Pierre, and Rapid City. The board will take final action at the last of these meetings next spring. They will also take written comments. Educators would teach to the new standards in the 2023-24 school year. Governor Kristi Noem arrived in Deadwood by horse, where she attended an auction that raised $149,000 for charity. Noem then swapped her horse for a motorcycle and took off to the Buffalo Chip Campground near Sturgis. There, she defended her overall approach to the pandemic and holding the motorcycle rally as the Delta variant spreads across the country. SDPB's Ariel Zients reports.
Governor Noem arrived to the Buffalo Chip on a shiny blue Indian motorcycle. She then met and spoke with the media about the rally and charity auction. Noem also outlined her approach to the pandemic, which has allowed mass gatherings like Sturgis to go on without COVID prevention methods.
Well, it really comes down to what my authority is. I don't believe that governors have the authority to tell people that they have to shut down their businesses, that they have to shelter in place, and then to pass mandates on that should be used for personal responsibility. When leaders overstep their authority, especially in a time of crisis, that's really when we break this country. So I wish every governor in this country would have followed my approach.
Noem says her approach worked because the economy is doing well and schools mostly stayed open. She also pointed to the fact that South Dakota was only one of two states where drug overdoses decreased in 2020. She cited suicide rates as well. South Dakota and the rest of the country did not see an increase in suicides last year, like many expected would happen. But South Dakota is set to see a record high this year. I'm SDPB's Ariel Zients in Sturgis.
Governor Kristi Noem is appointing Jennifer Maminga to serve as a judge in South Dakota's Second Circuit Court. Maminga was an assistant U.S. attorney for the past 5 years. She served as the opioid coordinator for the District of South Dakota. In 2015, Maminga was named the Midwest High Intensity Drug Task Force Outstanding Prosecutor. A Republican state lawmaker is signaling a primary challenge against U.S. Representative Dusty Johnson. Taffy Howard of Rapid City filed paperwork with the Federal Election Commission on August 3rd. Howard has spent the bulk of her time in the state legislature on the Appropriations Committee. Howard says she's still exploring whether to challenge Johnson next June.
Filing with the FEC allowed us more options. It allowed us to start raising support, which is going really well. So I'm not quite at the point of, you know, officially making it official.
Howard's first campaign press release says she's pursuing legislation. It would prevent businesses that receive taxpayer funding from enacting vaccine mandates. When asked if that includes other vaccines besides those for COVID-19, Howard says she's still working out the details. Yankton police say the upward trend of domestic incident calls reported in the middle of COVID-19 lockdowns last year is continuing to manifest itself in 2021. Police Chief Jason Foote says Yankton police answered a total of 292 domestics in 2020. That's more than 50 from the year before. It's something he believes, quote, could be due to the issues associated with COVID, end quote. Midway through this year, the city has fielded 180 such calls. The Yankton Press and Dakotan reports that the police department continues to work with its community partners, such as the River City Domestic Violence Center, to help tackle the problem. He says the number of cases being referred to the state's attorney's office is trending downward. Big Sioux River water levels decline, revealing items dumped into the river. Officials want more community effort to maintain it. Jay Gilbertson is manager of the East Dakota Water Development District.
There's a lot less water, so the things that are in the river, like the tires and the shopping carts and the old TVs, are now visible. 2 years ago, they were underwater.
Gilbertson says the trash revealed can be the result of rainfall runoff.
Part of it is simply recognizing that if we want to live along the river and interact with the river, we're going to have to do a better job.
Friends of the Sioux Falls River hosts river cleanup events throughout the summer. Conservationists are celebrating the one-year anniversary of the Great American Outdoors Act. This act gives national parks $6 billion for the next 5 years of repairs. Shannon Estenez is an assistant secretary for the Department of the Interior. She says this funding comes as more people are getting out to travel.
You know, these investments are being made under the Act at a time when people really are clamoring for more access to the outdoors.
Estenez says there are plenty of improvements going on now.
Improving visitor amenities, but also improving and modernizing water and wastewater infrastructure and transportation infrastructure like roads, bridges, and tunnels.
South Dakota is not currently on the list of projects being funded, but Estenez says the department is still deciding what needs repairs for the final 3 years of the act. Lake Oahe is a popular spot for anglers to try their luck catching walleye, bass, pike, and many other sport fish. However, Oahe holds another secret. It is swimming with salmon. SDPB's Laura Johnson reports from Lake Oahe in Pier.
It's a windy evening on Lake Oahe.
So what I'll do, I'm going to put this on the line and then I'll attach this to that ball.
Okay.
And then I'll pull it down so when a fish hits it, it actually comes away from the ball. So you just have it on your line.
Oh, gotcha.
John Murphy supervises conservation officers for the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks Department. He attaches a gray 10-pound weight to fishing line. The ball pulls a lure down about 80 feet where salmon feed on smaller fish.
So these are what they call flashers. So this is what it's supposed to look like going through the water. So this is supposed to emulate a school of smelt. And this is like a sick one at the end. And that's why they go for the last
those
one.
Spin, those yep, rotate spin. In the water.
Murphy and his wife, Leslie, an environmental scientist, love to fish for salmon. They have even developed a few tricks of the trade. John reaches into a cooler to bring out a container filled with an odorous mixture of tuna and garlic to cover the lures.
It's kind of the new thing people have been using. Leslie didn't think this would work until
nope.
we tried it.
Each year, the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks stocks salmon in the Missouri Reservoir. It draws anglers from around the Midwest. Robert Hanton is a salmon biologist for the state. He says salmon fishing brings in $1.7 million in local and state revenue annually.
When Chinook salmon were first found in the reservoir, anglers immediately took notice, were super interested. It created what would be called almost like a salmon mania.
During an experimental period in 1970, North Dakota stocked salmon in Lake Sakakawea.
a few juvenile salmon wiggled their way downstream to Lake Oahe. South Dakota fishery managers understood the unique possibility of introducing Chinook salmon into the Oahe Reservoir. Hanton's father actually started the salmon program in South Dakota in the 1980s. Hanton says it's been a challenge.
It's not a normal natural environment. This is a man-made created system with these large Missouri River reservoirs. Chinook salmon happened to fit that mold pretty well, even though it's basically salmon out on the prairie.
Salmon naturally spawn in fresh water, then make their way out to the ocean. Eventually, they return to their spawning spot to breed and die. Research surrounding the fish's ecology has centered around reproduction, since Chinook salmon cannot reproduce naturally in the lake.
In the actual hatching process, back at the hatcheries, different life stages occur with those eggs in development that instead of that actually hatching out and becoming a little fish, you actually have high rates of loss or mortality where, you know, those eggs just don't survive to become fish.
New research will track how well young salmon do in South Dakota's Missouri reservoirs. Dylan Gravenhoff is a biologist with Game, Fish, and Parks. He's also conducting research surrounding the behavior and survival of juvenile salmon after they are stocked in Lake Oahe. Gravenhoff and his team are tracking 50 salmon this summer and 50 next summer.
We purchase these special little transmitters that we can surgically implant inside the fish, stitch the fish back up, return them to their tanks in the hatchery, and then eventually when those fish get released into the water, we can track and see where they go and if they survive and stuff like that.
Passive and active trackers record the location of each fish. The tracking devices have a special polymer coating that will dissolve if the salmon is eaten by a predator. Gravenhoff says so far the research shows a 25% mortality loss. Melissa Wollner is an associate professor at the University of Nebraska-Kearney and works with Gravenhoff on the project. She says the data will allow them to determine better ways to stock the lake.
It takes a lot of time and manpower and really money to raise fish to be stocked out. And you want to try to maximize, you know, that return on that investment. And so we can look at improving success of stocking in so many different ways.
Gravenhoff foresees applying the data to surrounding areas as well.
I think it definitely will be some interesting information for other states. North Dakota has a similar salmon program to us. Montana has a similar program, so could definitely be very useful information for them because they have similar systems and fisheries as us.
Gravenhoff hopes his research can help existing salmon programs in the Midwest become more sustainable. After a downpour, the Murphys take a break for a meal. Leslie grew up hunting and fishing for walleye in rural Minnesota. She now enjoys the effort of salmon fishing.
It is fun. It's a fun fish to catch if you can catch one. It's a lot of time. It's time consuming. There's a lot of effort that goes into salmon fishing, but once you get one of those big salmon on the line, it's a fun fish to catch. They put up a good fight.
Leslie and John Murphy are on a streak this summer. They've caught a salmon every time they've gone fishing on Lake Oahe. With South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Laura Johnson at Lake Oahe.
With SDPB News, I'm Megan Feary. And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thank you for listening.